The rumors are true. Know That is now on Patreon. Visit www.patreon.com/knowthatpod to subscribe and get bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes videos, and more. That's www.patreon.com/knowthatpod.
Welcome to Know That, a deep dive into the week's Real Housewives episodes, where we offer our humorous, insightful, and unfiltered opinions. I'm Anthony Casella.
I'm Donnie Hadfield-Smith.
And I'm Quentin Lamar.
And this is Know That, a Real Housewives podcast.
Hey, so how are we doing tonight, guys?
Hey.
Hi. Good. We good? Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. How was everybody's week?
I was sick all last week. That's why our schedule was a little off. First, I was afraid it was COVID, but it wasn't. I had a sore throat for like 3 days, and then right as that went away, then I got a migraine for 48 hours. But I'm back and I'm ready to play.
Better than ever. Ooh, that's rough.
It was tough. And then Quinn always like is afraid, well, not afraid, but he like yells at me to go see a doctor, so then I have to downplay it, so like I have to close my eyes because I don't want to go to a doctor, but at the same time I'm in pain, so I'm like, I'm fine.
Donnie's like an old man from like the 40s. He does not like going to the doctor. I don't understand it. I have to like make him go.
Not even like an urgent care.
That's the worst kind.
It is. Yeah. That is a rough one.
Yeah, no, if it's for something, I don't like, I'll make an appointment for a physical, whatever, like see you in 6 months, I'll do that and I'll go, no problem. But if it's like for like this, for instance, I wasn't feeling good for 5 days. Did I go to the doctor? No, I just waited till it went away. I always like push it off. Like, you know how people say, oh, I'll start working out tomorrow. That's what I do about doctors. Like, if I'm still sick in 3 weeks, I'll go, like that.
Oh my God.
And I'm like the old wife, like, forget it, fine. Drop dead for all I care.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. How was your week?
It was good. My partner and I got approved for an apartment, and we are moving when our lease is up in our current place at the end of the month. So starting in October, we are going to be living in Brooklyn.
Ooh.
With us.
Yeah. Well, not with us, for those of you listening.
Well, not with us, of course.
That's not a sitcom premise. Brooklyn.
Yeah, I was going to say that's
actually
a
you won't be far from us, though. So that's something. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, three Brooklyn queens. Brooklyn queens, get it? It's a borough comedy.
I understood.
Sorry, Quinn. What?
Yeah, I think he laughed.
Yeah, as he should.
I wish I could leave. Like, you would. I wish I could like just walk out the door. After that, well, yeah, that's great.
I would be played by Kevin James, I think, in our sitcom.
Oh boy, and I will be Whoopi Goldberg.
I would probably be played by Mario Cantone.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah,
probably.
That feels right. Oh, Donnie.
I didn't want to say it, but.
Donnie and I used to quote, remember his hair?
Oh, I remember.
Commercial? You brought it to my attention a few weeks ago. Hey, ladies, get hair a bit.
Wake up, sweetie. Like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my Mario Cantone.
I forgot about those commercials. I remember
those. Dry roots, get hair a bit. Yeah.
Flat hair tripping you out. Wake up, sweetie.
Oh my God. That is fun. And that was like a big relief because we were searching for a bit. And it's like, woo, that'll take it out of you.
It's definitely not easy.
No. So I'm excited. What's new with you?
I guess I'll go now.
Sure. You're the only one left. So I guess take it away.
My week has been fine. I was not sick like Donnie was. I was fine and feeling okay. I will be doing the Yas Queer Comedy Festival, which will be next month. I found that out like a couple weeks ago. So that will be a lot of fun. I don't know if anybody listening would like to come see it, but it's going to be a lot of great LGBTQ comedians in the New York area. I'm happy to be a part of it, that they asked me to be a part of it. So So I've basically been doing that and living, you know?
Oh, I know.
That's exciting.
Should be a good time. So now we're going to bring out our guest, Christina Ariel, who I am so happy to get to meet sort of in person finally after going back and forth on social media. She's an actress. She's a podcaster. She's gorgeous. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say. So welcome to the show, Christina.
Oh my gosh. Hi. It's nice. I'm so happy to be here. Like, I listen every week. I'm just so excited. I am a proud contributor to the Bravo podcast industrial complex. And I'm so delighted to just be here and hang out with you all. And also, I'm the host of Star Wars The High Republic show on StarWars.com.
Yes.
I say that because we have an episode coming out early on this Wednesday. So I'm very excited about that. You guys,
I'm excited about that too.
That's exciting. Okay. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Oh my gosh, let's talk about this stuff.
Let's talk about it.
So we're going to jump right in. We're going to start off with Beverly Hills. Now, I have to ask you, Christina, what do you feel about Beverly Hills this season?
Ooh, I think it's been a great season as far as entertainment value. And actually, they're still beating a dead horse and keeping one storyline through the whole thing. But it's like also got a true crime element to it. So people are like, oh my gosh. And like, everybody is like, an investigative journalist. And it's like, oh, but on this day, she was on the radio and she said.
It's true.
It is. It's a very fascinating thing that it's built, like that has come out of this, because like, who saw that coming? And so I'm really enjoying it and I'm loving it because everyone is playing their role, like very specifically.
Yeah.
I believe I'm going to talk about it.
I agree with you because I just wanted to say I feel like it is kind of the same thing, but maybe it's like true to LA. It's got like a facelift, so it seems like it's new, but it's not new. I really enjoyed it this season. We talk about it here. I think we all are really enjoying the season.
Yes.
If you so far up until this point, before we get into the current episode, what do you think is one of the most, besides Erica, like what do you think is one of the most compelling parts of Beverly Hills this season?
Garcelle and Sutton.
Yeah.
And it is a very compelling part because one, Sutton has one of the most successful potential villain turnaround arcs that I've ever seen. And obviously, like, that still goes back to the Erica thing because that's kind of like where a lot of that's coming from.
Yeah.
Things I have big feelings about. Dorit created storyline Kinsley.
Let's get into Dorit right quick. I went into this season loving Dorit. I've liked Dorit for a long time, and I know not everybody did, and I accept that. I think that Dorit is a really good example of a person who has certain ideals about themselves, probably think they're a bit more tolerant than they are until they actually are faced with somebody who is different head on. And I think having Garcelle in the cast really shone a different light on Dorit for me. Specifically.
Yes. And I have a thing about people talking to my experience from a place of ignorance and like you're speaking as a professional in something you've never experienced. And oh my gosh. So all of this, you've been making jabs at me. Like Rena made a comment about jabs earlier in this season. Like it was kind of you throw these jabs at me. And then that became kind of Dorit's talking point. It's like, oh, you throw these little jabs. But that didn't come about until after the dinner party. Like they were cool up until she's like, so you're saying that everyone that like the only people of color, you know, are people that work for you. And there is a thing that happens when someone feels like they've been slighted by the truth. And they become defensive about other things. Exactly. It's like a caged animal. You start to lash out because it's like you're faced with an inconvenient truth. And the response comes out in different ways. And it's for someone who's calling people passive aggressive, it's very passive aggressive. And the audacity of getting mad and saying, oh, are you going to walk away after you walked out of Kyle's party at Kyle's election party because you didn't like the interaction that was had.
Interesting.
Like,
preach.
Make it make sense. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, for her to call Garcelle passive aggressive, I think Garcelle is the cast member that speaks her mind the most.
Is the most direct.
Absolutely. I'm still trying to get over Dorit's really. When she kind of thought she was mocking Garcelle, that was
disrespectful. Not the look.
Yeah, disrespectful, triggering for me. And I have to tell you how much I love Dorit. I didn't care much for her children or her husband, but I loved Dorit.
Well, I love so, the kids. They're so cute.
Okay, Jagger's all right sometimes. But I'm not, you know, if you listen, you know, I'm not a big fan of children or housewives. I feel like being on camera brings out a really ugly side to children and they show out and it triggers the Black mama in me. And it just, it's too much for me. Like those scenes with Giselle and her daughters trigger the hell out of me. I was a big Dorit fan, and this has been really hard for me to swallow, to be honest, to see this side of her. It's disappointing. I'm very disappointed by it. I hoped she was better than that. She always claims that she's seen the world. I just thought, I mean, I don't know. I hoped, I should say.
And I get that. And I understand that feeling. Like it's in, like this inherent choking feeling in your chest when you feel like I had hopes that this person was not like,
yes,
going to be like, to be that, to exhibit that. Mm-hmm. It's like, I held out hope. Like I was like, because it does feel slightly like a betrayal to see these things. Like, you know, they're there and you like, to a certain extent, you're like, oh, it's escapism. It's escapism. And it is, but it's also real. It's real world reflected.
When you bring up, like as a Black person or person of color, when you bring up racial issues with your friends or whoever, there's a painful aspect because you feel betrayed, because you feel let down. And it does, it's usually met with the way Dorit acts, which is lashing out, getting defensive, and all that stuff, but there is a pain there. And like, even though, of course, I don't know her, so the pain isn't like that, whatever. It's just like, yeah, like you said, I thought like, I wanted better for you. I guess that's the best way to put it.
And the thing is, and in calling out those behaviors, it's not an attack, it's a mm-hmm. plea. Because when you're sharing like instances of racism or microaggressions, like that's a trust. Like, I trust you with this information to not make it about you or to center yourself, but to hear me because I'm hurt and I'm just sharing my hurt with you. Like I'm confiding yes. in you. I'm not accusing you.
Right.
And so exactly. like she took Garcelle as accusing her rather than like, oh, like maybe like examine what you're saying and like trying to make a conversation out of it extremely respectfully. She tried. And, but when you come against somebody who starts getting defensive because they think they know about an issue, but they don't, it's very frustrating. And that's why like Garcelle being like, awesome. I felt that shit in my soul.
Yeah, she's good for that. Garcelle is so unfazed by a lot of things. Like she's just like, she handles it so well. Like even checking Kathy about the I don't see color thing. She handled that very classy, very well. And by herself, because she's literally by herself when she talks about these things usually. Yeah. So I wasn't a fan of Garcelle before the show. I didn't have anything against her, but I wasn't a really big fan of her. I mean, I didn't really know
Wild anything Wild much West, about it. Jamie Foxx show, Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No, I just really wasn't a big fan of her. And right, and this is like completely changed that. It made me dislike Dorit and love Garcelle. So it's like I love Garcelle now. So I'm happy about that. But since we're kind of on the topic of, you know, Dorit and this whole thing, we should probably talk about this dinner party from Hell Part 2.
What is it? Threats and Promises. Oh, can we shout out Sutton? She did actually rock a Black designer at that table. That orange jacket is by Giovanna Benoit.
Oh,
and
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, who also made the Black like shoulder, like whatever those things, shoulder pad suit that Garcelle mm-hmm. wears in her confessional. Those are both by Giovanna Benoit.
Interesting. People.
It was beautiful. I just didn't pay attention to it. Like, I don't know. I'm a bad gay. I don't know designers like that. Shout out to Anthony's podcast, Bad Gay.
thank you, Clint.
I don't know designers that way. I'm like, I'm very much, I buy my clothes from like, you know, like thrift stores and Amazon. Don't go by me. Bad gay.
Listen, all day. And recently it's just like character t-shirts.
Yes, I love a good character t-shirt. One of the things, like, there was a lot of confusing behavior from Erica for me in this episode. She's acting like a lion when she should be acting like a lamb. And I don't understand why I guess I can think she's not sorry for anything or she has no remorse, but how do we feel about how she's handling the women, but specifically Sutton, in this time where she's like at a very weak point?
I do think it's clear that Sutton is the one against her, because even everybody else that like can see both sides. Like Kyle and Dorit and Rinna are like lost causes to me. But I feel like Garcelle and Crystal have their eyes open to see both sides, but they still are giving Erica a grace that I wouldn't allow. Like, all of this is in the news. You're allowed to have an opinion on it without feeling bad. And I feel like Sutton is stepping up to the plate there. But as just a human being, I understand why Erica would get defensive about it. So I'm not like angry at her for being defensive, but I am angry at everyone else for not acting the way Sutton was. Because I don't think Sutton would look like such a villain if she wasn't the only one doing it.
Yeah, I don't even, it's interesting. I don't even consider Sutton anything kind of like a villain in this situation with her questions of Erica. But it's interesting to me because Erica is very much all bark and no bite. And she definitely has a type. When you think of the women who she's gone after on the show, it's Eileen, it's Sutton, it's Teddy, it's Dorit. It's women who she thinks are weak or that she perceives as weak. I mean, I don't think she would snap at some of the other women like that. It's almost like an easy target to get her aggression out on. And it's unwatchable. But I love it, but it's unwatchable.
Because even the way she reacted to Garcelle, when Garcelle went to wipe that tear, and Erica, like, she handled that a lot differently than she handled Sutton. She said, like, don't touch me right now. And she was, like, quiet and didn't raise her voice and all of that. And she still was off-putting to her, but it was packaged differently than it was for Sutton.
Yeah, I think so. I think she goes after the women that she perceives as less than her, weaker.
It's very frustrating. And Garcelle pointed it out. It's a very blatant thing. If Garcelle had that same energy with anybody, even like Garcelle was very contained when she got into it with Dorit at that table. Like, she was very contained. Like, even when she lost her temper, it was like a certain, like I've warned you to this point. Like, I'm talking to you very calmly. You should be scared. Like, but she couldn't be threatening or outwardly aggressive. And the way that Erica is allowed to be outwardly aggressive to these people and to, like, not be called a bully, but you're a bully for telling somebody they talk too much when they do, and everybody else has told them that, but this person is the bad guy. Like, and then you go back with Erica. I mean, it's like, what did anybody expect her to do? Like, you want her to get in her face? You want her to flip the table? Like, Sutton's not going to come in there with that same energy as you recount a story to your friend. She's going to come in and she's going to be tactful. She's at a dinner party at Kathy Hilton's house eating caviar.
Caviar pie.
I've never even heard of caviar pie.
Me neither.
Like, also, did Rinna eat the caviar pie? Because caviar is low-key fish.
It's fish.
And did she eat the fish eggs at the table for a non-fish person and keep that? Okay, I don't, never mind. We'll talk about it later.
I don't pay attention. I don't ever see Rinna eat. So I don't pay attention to it. Like, they talked about it for a while, but I don't really ever pay attention to her eating really anything. So I don't know if she did. Actually, with everything at the table, I didn't pay attention to anybody eating. The whole scene itself was way more. I was too busy, like, looking at all of the expensive shit that was everywhere. Like, I've never felt more poor in my life.
But I do want to say, like, I understand to a certain extent, like, every single event has become about Erica. Like, all of the conversation has turned back to Erica. So I can understand, though, that would be frustrating when you, like, maybe want to, like, be at your job and, like, relax. But now your job is crossed over with your real life and they're intertwined in a way that you have no escape, no getaway. And I'm sure, like, you want to lash out. And also you're trying to, like, play it as easily as you can because you are still, like, there's still an investigation. There's still all these things. And I understand all of that. But also, like, there are two things that my grandma said are, like, the rudest thing that you can do to somebody. And that is to point in their face. But the other thing on that end, Sutton, I can understand you don't like a finger pointed in your face, that doo-doo finger, like, pointing in your face. I'm from Georgia, too. I get it. But on the other end of that, the other thing is we weren't even allowed to say the word lie when I was a kid. Like, you couldn't call anybody a liar. You had to say fib. You had to say telling a story. Like, it was one of the most disrespectful things besides pointing at somebody to call them a liar. And, like, especially down south, it is a big, big thing. Like, your reputation, your character, like, and it is a big, big trigger. So if someone were to say to me, like, I think you're a liar or a thief or any of those things. Like, you're going to call me a lot of things, but that's not going to be one of them. Like, it's a ultimate Southern disrespectful thing.
I never really thought about that. I was raised that way. My grandmother's from Alabama. She raised my mother that way. I grew up in Michigan. I had no idea that that was really a thing, but you're absolutely right. Yeah, we were not
allowed to. I grew up in Alabama and Georgia. Not at all.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
So I can understand the rage on both. Like, if I had to, like, on the fence of, like, understanding it, but I also, like, that doesn't excuse anything, like, how you handle yourself in the situation after. And right. Kathy was done with those people. That's why she didn't go to Garcelle's dinner. Kathy was 100% done. Like, she has never seen anything like this. And she was like, I am not with the fuckery. This is tacky. I don't do tacky. Like,
I pulled out the Baccarat crystal for you hoes, and this is how you act. Yes,
she and got them a Baccarat gift. Did you see Sun go back to her gift though?
I did. I would have too.
Speaking of tacky, I've never seen anything like Rinna's behavior at this dinner. Shrieking, screaming, taking the bell.
We've seen that from Rinna before. We've seen her act.
Of course, but like in this kind of situation, I was shocked. Do
we think she was as drunk as she said she was? Because she acted like she didn't remember anything. And I kind of was like, I feel like if you don't remember anything, you should have been like passed out. They should have had to carry you home for you not to have noticed anything that happened at that table. And which brings me to that conversation she had with Garcelle that I want to talk about too. Because that was the nicest, nastiest, coldest conversation I think I've ever seen between two people on TV. It was like lines were drawn. I don't know if you paid attention, but lines were drawn in that scene.
Oh, mm-hmm. Gosh. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And like the look on Garcelle's face, like,
Yeah, it was all unspoken. Yeah.
You notice there was a toast right after the whole, like right after Sutton left, like they did a toast at the table. And Rinna was fine. Like, it was nothing like outrageous. She was just really like mellow and still doing that like Pat and Erica being like, I'm so sorry. Like, yeah. So you have to notice that going to this conversation too. I feel like what she was trying to do was set Garcelle up to talk shit so that she could go back and tell Erica, oh, and tell the girls like, oh, well, Garcelle said X, Y, Z. And so it's like, oh, let me frame it like I don't remember. So you have to recount the story to me. Huh. And it comes across in a way like I'm going to listen to everything you say and measure everything you say and take it back and be like, oh, well, this is what was said. This is how she's telling this story. That's how I feel.
You don't run and tell it. The thing that Rinna did or is doing this season that's really upset me is this whole, you know, when somebody does something that you don't like and you have a problem getting over with them and then they find some reason to not like you to justify that, which is one of the most immature things. I've not seen that happen since, I don't know, middle school. It's such, of all the bad things, behavior I've seen from Rinna, it's probably the most disgusting considering how it's playing out in the show. So when she sat there and just refused to talk about it, because if I don't remember it, then I can't say anything either way and I'm protected. It's just more of that Rinna BS that I hate. So Rinna is like, is there a list worse than the shit list? Because that's the one that Rinna is on for me. She is throw the wig and everything away. And the wig is...
But the thing is, that's why you're annoyed by what Dorita's doing, because it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
She needs to justify why she's upset with Garcelle, and she can't say it's because of that interaction at dinner made me feel some type of way because this was on national TV and I don't want my reputation to be this thing that I'm exhibiting. So like, I think like you have to look at it like that's why you're so annoyed, because it's on both ends and you know it's like it's very much a puppet coming out of one's mouth.
They're also probably, in addition to with Dorit stepping in it when it comes to Garcelle, they're probably trying to pull Garcelle into a story that could take away from what's going on with Erica. Like, let's work on this plot. Maybe it was discussed behind the scenes, or maybe let's air our grievances about Garcelle on camera so that we can kind of shift the focus away from Erica a little bit. And it's working in that Garcelle continues to come off well and the other women look like shit. So I don't know if they would consider that a win. I mean, we are talking about how awful Dorit is. I don't know if Dorit would say that was the that was the goal. Even when she was trying to do the 180 at Garcelle's dinner and she's looking around like, oh, Garcelle, are these flowers from your native homeland? Like, she just can't get out of her own way. She's insane.
And then also at that dinner, since we're there already, Rinna really pissed me off too. And I think this was, they were all trying to like not, like you were saying, like not talk about Erica. But when I feel like Rinna was making, how do I want to say this? I feel like Rinna saw Dallas and saw how the women acted to Tiffany Moon and said like, oh no, I can't do that. So Rinna went out of her way to not treat Garcelle's food the way they treated Tiffany's. She was like, I'm not normally a fish person, but I'm eating it. Like,
and oh made it God. Into a spectacle, yes, rather than just enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't come from a fish household. I'm not from a fish home.
I'm like, all you right. need to eat fish at home. Fish is literally everywhere. Like, yeah. You can just say you don't like fish. Like, that's fine. You don't like fish, whatever. I thought the food looked very good. I thought her home looked really nice. I love that wall of like, you know, the flowers and a little bit of the like nature. I thought it was very well done.
Talk about the entrance though. The grand entrance with her like Asa caftan on. Like she looked amazing. Oh my God.
She looked amazing.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
And I think that intimidates certain people on the cast that she's effortlessly like able to do whatever that she does, because it's only two people that have made a certain someone feel a certain type of way and lash out in particular, besides LVP. I'm just going to say that and leave it there, because I'm not going to say that they're on a revival of their soap opera. I'm not going to go there, but whatever. And that's what makes me mad, because I'm sorry. I have to say it. I love Lisa Rinna. I watched Lisa Rinna since I was 8 years old. Like, I watched her with my grandma. I remember watching Marlena and Stefano and fucking Eileen Davidson when she was back there, and she'd be like, Stefano DeMeyer is a main man. I loved her. Like, I loved them so much. I remember like literally all of it, the exorcism storyline, Billy, Hope, all of it. And it makes me so mad. Like, even, you know what? This is my little piece of Housewives history. Kind of like how you guys did the Big Brother podcast the other day and found out you were talking to one of Sonya Morgan's interns, like in the end, like Kaiser Soze. Wasn't it? It was a moment. Uh-huh. I want to go to lunch by myself. And I was going for a walk. Like, I left, I was at the Ivy, and I start walking down the street, and I look to my right, and in the window is Luann De Lesseps and Lisa Rinna. And it turned out it was the day that they were shooting the Phil and Giovanni video, and ran away to the window. Like, it was a moment. Like, I literally walked by the store as they were shooting Phil and Giovanni and found out weeks later, like, that's why they were all like in there. It was like Cynthia, like all of them were in there.
Oh my God.
Oh, love that.
I don't like that. If I saw those two housewives, like I didn't even, I forgot that video even happened. So that really blows my mind. It's not a bad song at all.
It's no Coffee and Love.
Oh, no, let's not get on this. We all know that the best Housewives song is Tardy for the Party. I will have no other discussion about
it. You know, I'm Drive Back Hive. I love Drive Back.
Today, I tweeted to, all in one tweet, I decided to cause some chaos. I tweeted Candace, Ashley, and Monique, and I said, I said, can you three, like, get along so you can revive Lilith Fair? Like, I would love you three to go on tour together.
Lilith Fair.
Donnie wanted me to turn off the new Aaliyah album that is on Spotify so we could listen to Drive Back.
No, that's not what happened. What happened was I put on headphones and he said, are you listening to your own music? I said, yeah. And he said, don't do that. Aaliyah is
finally on Spotify and you're not going to listen to it?
No, I was listening to Drive Back.
I have that album on vinyl. It is my like only way to listen to Aaliyah for years. Like, I have that album on vinyl. So, like, the other day, I got to listen to More Than a Woman in the Car, yes, not on YouTube. And I was like, I am so happy right now. Like, More Than a Woman is, like, such my driving song.
It's such a good song. When it first came out, I remember saying, I was like, this sounds like it should be, like, the opening credits to a Sonic the Hedgehog movie. But I love it. That song to me is perfect. Donnie knows how much I listen to that album. I'm so happy that she's kind of back. I saw a picture of... They have like a picture of her in Manhattan, like when her album, before it came out, like Aaliyah is coming, advertised the same way when it came out originally. And my heart was like, oh.
I saw one in Hollywood the other day and I cried. Like, it's, I saw it and like got shot. It is like remembering like the, like, it's 20 years like since she's been gone. And like to have that moment of like if you like were an Aaliyah fan, you were an Aaliyah fan. I mean, do you know how many times I like cried to like her cover of Journey to the Past? The one I gave my heart to was my breakup song through like ninth grade. Like she was in the rain. That was her singing in the rain video in leather, like arms leather. Out, like struggling. Oh my God.
My AOL name was Are You Feeling Me? Like I love.
He'll say that any chance he gets.
It's true. I mean, I did see. I said it on the last episode, but now you all understand why that was my name. Now that the Romeo Must Die album's out, but whatever. I digress. We're gonna move to Potomac now, though. So Potomac has been, of course, as Anthony once put, and I keep saying it, the crown jewel of the Real Housewives franchise. It never, ever disappoints. Never, ever, ever in any way. Now, we have to start talking about Karen, who I don't know if anybody knows about Jackie's Back. It was a great movie done by Jennifer Lewis, like for Lifetime, I believe. Karen Huger is having a Jackie's Back time, and I love it. It's like she's like a diva trying to rekindle her like career, but then she never was a diva, so now it's like it's so weird to see this Suri video that she filmed in Potomac.
It's COVID, as Mia said on What Happened
Last Yeah.
Understand it's COVID.
Meanwhile, she's such a good
meanwhile
friend.
Karen
such a good
was
friend.
Just in Suri.
Right.
She was just in Suri getting that key. The reason why they can't update the library because they gave her that key.
Well, now Karen in real time is saying that was just a dress rehearsal and they're going to film the real thing in Suri. Like, the just best. Stop, Karen.
The best.
I love that they her. Put a not actually in Suri. Love it.
Oh, I love it, that gazebo Karen. Could be anywhere, okay?
It could be.
So could that playground.
It's not, but it could.
That playground is somebody's anywhere like, USA.
Where's this playground? I'm looking for this exact playground. I saw it in a Suri video by Karen Huger. I just want to stand by. Yeah. Like, you know, there's somebody that's going to go and be like, oh, I wanted to see it. Like, I've decided to come visit Suri and get a penis. Did you know they come in a hole? Like, it's wild.
I think they have a Trader Joe's there, too. So we have what I thought was a really good moment with Wendy and her children where they talk about, you know, police violence and all that stuff. I think it's a nice, honest moment. Well, first of all, I'm pretty sure you love Potomac, Christina, I'm assuming. So how about you give us like a really quick sum up of how you feel about Potomac this season?
Really excited about this season. Mia was my friend from high school, so it was really cool to see. And
I forgot about that.
I can't speak to her really? Life today, but yeah, for like, it's like me, her, my friend Robin, we all used to hang out and she's always really sweet. And like, I don't see any difference. Like she's an honest person. She's kind, she's funny. She is not lying about her age because I am 35. Like, yeah. So it's no, I really enjoy watching her and like enjoying all of it. And also like, just there's a lot, especially like for Ashley. Like I love Ashley, like advocating mm-hmm. for breastfeeding in public and all the things that she is. And like, those things are really helpful, and talking about postpartum in the way that she did as somebody who experienced it. Like, I appreciate those storylines. And I feel like Potomac gives all the way around because we're not focused on one person. Like they can carry on multiple things and we're invested in all of them.
I do have to ask really quickly though, what size shoe does Mia wear?
I don't know what size shoe she wears.
It's but because Candace talks about how big her feet are all the time.
Well, I don't think that's nice.
It's not nice.
It's not nice for her to do.
Shut the fuck up.
I do. Too.
No, absolutely. Listen, Candace is herself, and I know a lot of people, like people that have like that same kind of thing, especially like she's a very Jack and Jill Black lady. If you ever heard of Jack and Jill, it's an organization for like prestigious Black families, and it's like they have like mm-hmm. bajillion, like, and it's all like doctors' kids and things like that, and like kids that went to private school, and it's a very like kind of elite circle. And I understand like people that move in that circle and even going to Howard and all of those different things. Like she was raised with a high sense of self and great confidence. And like, you can't shatter that. Like when you have somebody who's like been built up in it.
I can see that.
Yeah. So like, you can't tell her about herself because like, she knows who she is and she's self-aware to the point where you look at that episode of it. Here it is. What I was going to say at the beginning, that episode of Family Reunion that has her and Brandy Glanville and Kenya And she, like, when she goes in the, she was amazing. She goes in there and she turns that accent off in the confessional. And like, it, I feel like that's very much who Candace is, like that character, because she's aware it's a character. Like, she's aware very much that it's a character. Like, the whole thing last season for her was off script. So it's like, now it's like getting back to the thing of like, okay, this is about me. I have this. I'm going to do everything that I can in this time. And like, I'm going to be unapologetic about it. And
I love me. Actually, I just wanted to make sure Candace was lying. I just wanted to make sure, because I felt like it was something she was just being mean about. I wanted to make sure.
And I think for the most part, all the women on Potomac are pretty comfortable playing the character that they are playing. And that's why it works so well.
But the thing is, and she's very tall. Like, she's tall. So like, even if her foot size, she has an average foot size for someone her height.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a defendant. But no. Because I remember that, like, I remember that time in life, like, all of us, like, in Columbus, Georgia, just, like, chilling, like, and it's very nice to, like, see her thriving and doing well, and, like, it really sincerely makes my heart happy to, like, see my friends win. It's, like, even, I don't care if I haven't talked to you, if you're still winning, I'm still cheering, and so, like, to see her, like, doing that, and also, like, come on, she came out with a candle line, like, in time for the episode that was available for order, like, the girl's a genius, I don't care.
She is. I love her. Like, she's a really great addition to Potomac, if you ask me.
She's great. I love Mia. She looked gorgeous on Watch What Happens Live.
She did.
Like, gorgeous. Not that looks for everything. I find her to be light and breezy, but also fun and like full of, she's like offering something to the show that's deep too. I mean, the conversation that she had last week on camera with her mother, I've never seen anything like that on any of these shows.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. So speaking of those conversations, like important conversations, like I was saying, Wendy had one with her children. We've said that we love to see conversations like that happen on shows like Bravo or reality shows, because it's really important. I like seeing that part of Wendy. I'm not a huge Wendy fan, but I love seeing that scene. And I love seeing how athletic Wendy was, because she threw that football. I like seeing that side of her, I guess, the, like, kind of like the fun, like, mom side of her, because I don't really think we see a lot of her with her kids often. So it was good to see her at home like that.
Yeah, and we don't see a lot of scenes with her kids. And I think maybe that's probably a disservice the show did last season when we're establishing a new cast member. They could have added some more there, and that would have helped us get to know her more.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I think because we don't see her with her children, we only see her basically as a glorified friend of. And as the friend of, she is really just giving us, I don't know, whatever character she's trying to play. Like, last year was like, Dr. Wendy, address me, sweetie. And then this year is like, TikTok, Zen Wen. Like, none of it is real. So seeing her just be real and be content with her family, even in those like serious conversations, just that like motherly love, I think we need more of it from Wendy.
Are people not allowed to have nuances though? Like, this, these may all be different like parts of her personality, and like they may be coming out in a strong way, but it's also like second season housewife, also like discovering things about herself from that first season that maybe you don't know about yourself until you see them reflected back at you on TV. And so you're trying to fix all these versions of yourself, right, while also like dealing with very much like not being comfortable in your own body, like after having a baby and getting back to yourself, then doing something about it. Also like being insecure about it, throwing this party about it because you like are like trying to like make sure like people know like, no, like accept me. Like, I want you to see I did this for myself. And, but she's coming on like very strong because she is now realizing she's on TV. And like, it's like, who am I right now? Like trying to put all those things together. Like, who do I want to be? Like, oh, I have this platform now to do all of these things. Is this enough? But then like, it is seeing her at home, seeing her grounded, like seeing the housewives at home is grounding. I think that's why they have that rule, like, you're a friend of if we don't see your family, right, because it gives you a very different perspective on like the different parts of these women and how they interact. And it is very much social experimenty, like Big Brother, because it's like, who are these women going to be when they're trying to stunt?
That's very true. And I agree with that. And I did like seeing her at home. It really gave her more of a, it gives her more of a well-rounded look for me to get to know her better. So Wendy always kind of, she gets me, like, sometimes I don't like Wendy, and then sometimes I'm like, oh, I do like you. And then it's like, I go back and forth, and it's like, the more I see of her, the more I understand her, and then the more I kind of like her. So I think it's just that for me personally.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind her coming off so strong in the group scenes if we got to know her as a like on her own as well. But I think that Monique and Candace dominated so much of the season last year that we never got the chance to meet Wendy like that.
But I do respect her mind. I think she's very smart.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to work through my feelings out loud here. I think my feelings about Wendy have more to do with me, because I think I like my housewives to be psychotic to the point of no self-reflection, are just confident without second-guessing themselves, and then we get to laugh at it. So that's why, like, Giselle works for me. Karen works for me. Wendy makes me uncomfortable because I see the crack in who Wendy's trying to be. And when she, I feel like it's palpable when I could tell that she knows that performance isn't working and I want something better for her than being ruined for the show. I want Wendy to say, I'll wear whatever the fuck I want. You know, shut up. Who you wish you could look like that. But because Wendy isn't quite that person, which of course is fine, and gets in her head about it, that makes me feel sad and uncomfortable. And I don't want to feel that way for Wendy. Like, my fear is that continuing on this show for the type of person Wendy is will maybe even will ruin her self-esteem, will like put cracks in her marriage. And because Wendy's not a psychopath, I feel bad for her, and I don't want to feel bad for these people. Does that make any sense?
No, it does, because they push her to a limit where, like, she wants to be there but she's not there. So it's like in Austin Powers when those fembots like explode, I feel like that's when Wendy's like, tick tock, Mia, like, and I feel
then
like
when
yeah
then when like, has watching, time
yeah, we're watching but I love literally when you explode.
I love when you do that, Anthony. You always have a really good way of bringing up how we deal with housewives based on how we see ourselves, and I tend to forget that because I'm so used to just like watching TV and like kind of like trying to get out of myself. So you always manage to do like, that's something that I also didn't think about. So you're absolutely right, in my opinion, about that. I agree with that.
Yeah, I wanted to frame it not like when, like my thoughts about myself watching Wendy and not my thoughts on Wendy.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't give her a bone. She showed up, not to mention she established that she was going through some postpartum depression. And, you know, after so soon having a baby after coming on the show, and like she showed up with some fun sexy outfits and they couldn't even let her have that, like, right. That's normally applauded on a Housewives, so like no wonder she's been so insecure so far this season.
And dealing tough, with that man. Rumor on top of it,
right?
Like, yeah, the whole, like, because that's your family, like that's, again, like that was her rooting place, that's the place that we see most of her, like, think about that being obstructed by this, as you said. And to think about Taria and Ray Sani had a conversation about the baggage that we bring to housewives. And so it like goes back to what you say, like, what are we seeing that's making us so uncomfortable? It's like blurring that line for us of like our escapism and our reality. And it's
absolutely, yeah,
y'all so smart. Now I feel bad. I feel I haven't been fair to Wendy, and now I feel bad. I'm about to rethink some things. So
we'll see.
Okay, we should shut up, Donnie. So we have to talk about the Goddess Picnic, which I thought was great. Like I loved every minute of that, including Candace's wig. Who you said it was
Dirty Diana. She said her name was Dirty Diana.
I think Donnie called it a Gladys Knight wig.
No, and I heard someone say Gladys Knight. I said Dream Girls, and she says, turn your wigs around.
That's I was hoping what it you said like it. I was like, God, I did good. If you could say that, Donnie, I was like, I did good work.
I kind of liked it. Am I alone?
I did too. No, it was a I nice short sass.
Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't know where we were going there. I
like that. Was the kind of wig you have to name. You have to name a wig like yeah. that.
It was a look. Like, it was a whole thing. Like, she was in it. She was feeling it. And I was like, yes, girl. Like, I actually, like, I really like that wig. And because it's a difference for Candace. We don't see Candace with short hair like that.
That's true,
and she's got an amazing. She has an amazing bone structure. So she looked like really great. Like that wig fit her face, everything.
Remember when they did the Karen thing? Remember how good she looked blonde? I was thinking she should dye her hair blonde. She looked really good. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she would look great. She did look great as a blonde.
She did. So at the picnic, we got to see all these women. They all showed up looking like goddesses. Of course, they looked amazing. They sat down, and to my surprise, Karen and Giselle cleared the air as much as they can, because they'll be back. They're like a couple of cats. They'll be back at each other again, and we love that. But I love that this is what I want for my housewives. I don't want an ongoing, never-ending feud. I want moments of reconciliation and then for you to fight about something else, because I think that's what true friendship is. So that's what I want to see. And I was very surprised that it happened as quickly as it did, but it proved, again, why I think Potomac is kind of like at the head of the pack.
I think they're genuinely invested in one another.
I agree.
Like I think you see a difference in like the housewives that care about each other, even with Salt Lake City, like because like Lisa cares about Meredith, because these people care about each other, like there's a genuine connection that doesn't feel like they only see each other when they're filming. It feels like they actually like talk and check on each other. And that like, it makes a difference in how you care about the franchise.
So how long do we think this will last?
Till next week.
Next episode.
Until somebody went on social media.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They're always going to be at each other's throats.
I love it though.
In a fun way.
Oh yeah. It's so entertaining to see what they say about each other when the other one's not around, even outside of confessionals. And that is also something you don't often see done as well in other franchises. But just hearing what Karen has to say, she will drop something about Giselle in her mouth so fast and so slick. And I'm here for that.
And you know what else really I like about Potomac is that they know when to like turn things into a storyline or a moment. Like Ashley wasn't invited to Candace's music video, and she was like, yeah, she just, that's her moment. And then when Ashley was speaking later, Candace the whole time was like, okay. Like they clearly don't like each other, and Candace didn't invite her to this thing, but they know like we have bigger plots to deal with. Like we'll just fight about something else in 3 weeks. This is fine.
Do you want to know what else I love about the season of Potomac? And it's Candace's tagline, because it's perfect and she performs it. Every week I wait for it where she says,
My blessings are many, but my
patience, and my patience is none. I love it. It's so good.
Wait, but while we're talking about taglines, though, they do need to refilm them because Candace doesn't even look like that anymore. She looks like her mother in that tagline.
That irks me that they don't get a new photo shoot and change it out. They just like Photoshop the other wife out and put somebody else in. And it's like for Potomac to be what it is, y'all, as much as you want to now be like, don't sleep on Potomac, like, invest in Potomac. Like, they give them like them. Give them that Beverly Hills cinematography. Like,
they deserve all of that.
Exactly.
Because I was Potomac's like the only hit franchise that I was on from the ground floor. Like, mm-hmm. I've been watching Potomac since episode one. It got me willing to watch other housewives. It from the minute I heard that jazzy theme song, wow. I was in Potomac. I was in it. Love
go go.
So, Christina. Salt Lake City, go.
Oh my gosh. So when I first watched the first 2 minutes of that trailer the other day, I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. This is so great. Because I remember the day that the news broke and I was just looking at my phone and refreshing the hashtag on Twitter. Like, oh my God, what happened with Jen Shah? This is amazing. And then I'm like, oh my God, I hope they're filming. And then somebody was like, they are filming and they were filming. So then we got to see the footage from that. And it's like, they didn't even wait till like the mid-season trailer and try to like drag it out. They literally showed us like the first few minutes of this whole situation playing out. And it is amazing because it's like, oh my God, like Jen was such an like a larger than life character, but you've never seen a downfall that fast. Like just like boom. You're like, oh my gosh. Last year you were skating in a Tierra in your office with Stu Chains, and now Stu Chains and you aren't even allowed to talk. They crashed the server for the Zoom call because there were so many Bravo fans like in the call trying to do this thing. And all like, oh my God, I love it. I love that.
It's amazing. It was like watching some kind of like, I don't know, like Scorsese movie. It was at the beginning, it was so intense.
I haven't seen 2 minutes that like enthralled me so much since the Ma trailer.
Get home safe.
You guys mad at me?
Don't make me spit water.
I think you were gonna say week. Don't make me drink alone, but that's fine.
Don't make me drink alone.
Anyway, back to Jenstar.
I can't stand Jenstar. Back to Jenstar.
How so Whitney was rushes... in that bus is how I felt watching it when she was like fraud. Reading it out.
She threw her phone down.
Fraud. I'm gonna tell you, being married to Donnie, that Whitney Rose's reaction is exactly the way Donnie would have acted if he was in that situation. It goes from confusion, concern, disbelief, and then reporting the news to everybody else. That is what Donnie would do.
Yeah, by the end of that, Whitney was like the authority on it. She read it and then fraud. Like, of course it's fraud. I knew. How didn't you all know? Like, what?
Oh my God.
Heather tried to sink into her own cleavage. Her hand like went all the way down.
Do you think she's on the run? She's on the run.
So good.
Clearly she left. She ran from the police. She was on the run.
She said, turn my mic off. She
did. I like in the full trailer the where Lisa goes, I don't know if she's who we think she is. And Meredith goes, she's not.
She's not.
So oh good.
She's not.
She's not. So
love you, baby.
Bye.
You call it a fraud.
It's so good.
Oh my God.
Love so you, baby.
Good. Let's just quote the trailer for the next
That's
one.
Okay. So
if you come for me, I will send Jesus for you.
That is one of the best tagline I've ever heard.
That might be the best one I've ever heard. It's insane. It's scary.
It sounds like a Bravo parody account wrote it.
It's something that Carrie's mother would have said. And it's chilling.
Oh my God.
So has Jen set herself up for a redemption season?
I think
she was.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. She had that family party. She brought in the aunt with no legs. She was crying about
that scene, by the way.
It was so good. She was crying about how like she had to apologize to Sharif and she was a big part of their problems. Like she came in knowing how to get fans back on her side. And then the Fed said, wow, 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 wow. I don't think so.
It said the leak was in her glam squad for me.
That's incredible. Yes.
Especially since we've seen how she treats her glam squad.
Right.
Yes.
She's like throwing lit cigarettes at them. So
I worked in the service industry and everybody talks. Everybody talks.
Yeah.
And so like they gonna talk to somebody. Oh, I happen to know a Fed. Yep, she won. Will you flip on her? Hell yeah, I'll flip on her. She's so rude.
No, I would. So Mary says that she's starting a podcast because she talks to herself. Now, we could not find this podcast.
I looked.
But she says she started a podcast because she was walking around her house talking to mannequins and she felt that that was not healthy, which okay, great.
Yeah, we're halfway there.
Good on Mary for knowing that. I mean, it's okay to talk to yourself, but
Was tough. Quarantine was hard on all of us.
Yeah.
Especially the married people.
Well, she was alone though.
I don't know if that's better or worse. No offense, then.
And go check her. I said it's probably on her church's website. Like that's where you can go and like find Mary's podcast where she like the weekly, like probably like does a thing where like the pastor like comes out and like words from her. And did you see how she checked that dude? Because she was like, he looked real charlatanist with his prayer. And she was like, we don't need to do all that.
We don't need to do all that. We just need to like,
she stopped like a prayer. Davis.
She did like a Viola Davis acting exercise for like 2 minutes and like, that's all you need to do. I was like, you basically almost cried on cue. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I'll check her church's website because it's not on Apple.
Y'all so smart. I didn't even think to look there. Y'all so smart.
You probably have to pay for the podcast.
Probably.
It's called Tithes.
Oh, no, it's called Mary's Podcast. I can't believe when she said, hello, everyone. Welcome to Mary's Podcast. I said, that's the name of it?
But she said a name after that, didn't she? She was like, Mary's Podcast. She's like, truth that... Yeah. It was like truth with I don't know what she was talking about. I just know she started like it went off the rails real quick and it was delightful.
Yeah,
but those mannequins were chic. Horrifying was chic. Like those glitter heads.
Her yeah, they closet were horrifying. Gives me anxiety. Like, her closet makes me, I would be afraid there would be some kind of random Salt Lake City earthquake and I would die in my closet. It really puts my anxiety level up. And seeing those creepy dead mannequin eyes made it worse.
And what I liked was you could see in her closet things that she wears in the confessional later. Like, yes, I felt like, I felt fedora. Like I was looking at one of those I Spy books.
I love, like I said it before. She dresses like the lost Jackson family member, and I love her for it. You know she does. She dresses like every time she's in confession, it's like, come on, you see it.
It is giving LaToya. It is.
Maybe Rebe.
Rebe.
Maybe.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you remember how good Jackson's An American Dream was? That was like one of the best movie series of all time.
That's the movie that put Angela Bassett on the map. Okay, like that let a lot. Well, you know what I mean. It put her on the map too.
There's and What's Love Got to Do with It?
It was before that.
Oh, Jackson.
Jackson, yeah. That was before that.
It was like 90, like early 90s, because I was still 90s. In like Fort Benning.
In my opinion, that's how she got What's Love Got to Do with It. So yes, it was a good movie. And after the whole podcast thing, which I thought was really funny to watch. And how do we feel about the new housewife, Jenny? I'll go first. I love her. How does everybody else feel?
I'm fine with her. I thought her comment about her husband was kind of cruel.
She did call him a butterface.
I wouldn't have said it on TV, even if I felt it. I agree with that. But I also appreciate her honesty.
Oh, I thought he was a cutie.
I think he's kind of cute too.
Yeah,
I do. I think
she apologized to him though. She did put out like an apology to her husband, and she was like, "I shouldn't have said that." But I feel like she was like, she's like full ball of energy, like very honest, and just like, I'm going to Eileen Davidson towards it, but like, I really just so far, like she came in, her kids are amazing. Please tell me you liked her kids, Quinn, please.
I actually did love her kids. And you know why? First of all, they're Asians, not Bijans. That won me over. Love that. But beyond that, when I saw she had a son named Atlas, one named Triton, and then that daughter was named Carolyn, I was like, well, Jenny has facets, and I like that. I think her family is very cute and charming. I do like those kids. Well, some kids I do like, because I like those kids. What other kids do I like, Donnie? You know what other kids I like.
Christina, I'm just going to say it. He doesn't like the white kids. And he said it on the podcast before, so that's why I feel if it was just a private marriage moment, I wouldn't repeat it here. But he has publicly stated he does not like white housewives.
Are you Jenny and that man on a podcast y'all share?
That is between us. That was pillow talk.
No, you
next told week, you public told, apology.
No, you said it because oh no, Bravo messaged me and said, "Does he know my kids are white?" he doesn't hate all white kids, just housewives white kids.
I grew up like the only black kid in a school full of white people. I guess it's just PTSD.
But anyway, I love
heard
Jen.
You say
love
you like somebody's kids before. Like it wasn't Jennifer Aiden. Was it Jennifer wasn't. Aiden's daughter?
I do like Jennifer. I do like Jennifer Aiden's daughter. I love her. Like, and I also liked the one from Dallas.
Who? Not Brinkley.
Brandy?
No. I cannot remember her name.
It was Brillin, right?
I can't. What's her name? The Mexican woman.
Carrie.
Carrie. I love her oldest daughter.
I'm not even gonna pretend I watched Dallas. That show like rubbed me the wrong way from the first trailer. Even though I love that song, Carrie Underwood, Miranda crossover, I love it. But that trailer took me out. I was like, this show makes me feel a certain way. Like I need to walk out of the store.
I can't argue with that. But I did love Carrie's daughter. I think her daughter is like funny as hell to me. I lost my place. Where was you put me on blast about white kids, Don. I can't believe you did that.
Jenny.
We're talking about Jenny's kids.
Jenny's kids.
Introduction. And how you feel.
Okay, so you said you liked her, you loved her, Christina. Anthony, you said you're like, what, not impressed, or you're waiting, reserving judgment?
Reserving judgment. I liked her fine. It's hard to like make a decision, bring the gavel down on a new housewife after one episode, you know?
I mean, first impressions, I mean.
We won't hold you to it.
I wasn't like, I didn't need to meet a new housewife. Like every time we were like, oh, we're here with Meredith. We're here with Lisa. We're here with Mary. Once we landed with Mary, I felt full. So Jenny just felt like I didn't need a new housewife.
I do prefer when we meet the new housewife in a group setting as opposed to this way. Like normally we go through the whole episode, see the housewives we're used to, and then the last final event, like at someone's house or whatever, then we have like Rinna bring Eileen or whoever. And that's how we're normally introduced to these people. So to meet Jenny earlier in the episode felt off to me, but I still loved her.
So y'all gonna act like they didn't bring Jenny in because she might have to replace Jen?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't have known that. Yeah, I don't think the feds called Bravo.
Wouldn't said, they?
They wouldn't they? They even got they cast her with another Asian woman with the same name.
Okay, so my conspiracy theory is because you think about the fact that Bravo got that footage and they got those good shots of like the helicopters and all that kind of stuff. So what if they turned over the footage? Like they were like requested. They were like they've got a request and it was like you have to turn over this footage and they got that final bit of like evidence that they needed to make the arrest and then Bravo's like, well, maybe like we can barter something and you let us get a little bit of the footage. Or like they knew it was coming. So then they're ready and they were like, oh, we should get another housewife, like just in case. But it might be, I don't know. That's my tinfoil hat, like housewives conspiracy theory. I don't truly believe it. I don't. I think
I'm not going to say it's impossible. It's not impossible or implausible.
Well, I will say, now that you said that, I don't know about like the barter system, but I will say, they ended last year so strongly, there was no reason to put a new wife into the mix. So like, I do think something is off, whether it was Jen or whether they thought like Mary was up in the air and like they didn't know if they would be able to get her back or something. I do think that Jenny was brought in to be like a maybe replacement if someone dropped out.
So how many is it now?
Seven.
I think that's a good number though.
I just feel like there's so many dynamics between all of the women that like, I'm not sure how Jenny's going to get in there. So I'm just kind of like, we'll see. I'm like, we'll see.
And even in the trailer, I feel like she's not bringing anything.
She's just like screaming.
She was in that screaming match.
Yeah.
She might have been screaming to be heard because then people are loud.
That's true. And then she tells her husband, I'm pissed. All right, Jenny.
Yeah,
he said, let's get a sister wife. Like, you would react a way too.
Oh, yeah. I would ask worse than that. I would cut a hole in that ice. You'd find him the next day.
He went fishing. He was fishing.
It's one thing to sleep with somebody else, but a sister wife gets rights. Right. That's no.
Right.
And you're saying this as like your first conversation about having more children is like, that's like your first go to. It's like, even if it's a joke, it's like, you don't play me.
Right.
On national TV. Right. Don't embarrass me. That is my number one. It's like, don't embarrass your partner. Like, don't go embarrass your partner. Don't do grimy shit that gets called out. Yeah. But also don't say just straight up ridiculous stuff like this. Like, you think it's going to be funny. You're trying to be like the charming husband. It doesn't work for everybody.
Not everybody can be Mauricio.
Oh my gosh. No.
Give him his weed or his gummies and he's good.
Well, he's so chill though. But I want to see Mauricio go in next week. I feel like Mauricio is like about to be like, oh, other housewives moment. Met Kyle and Mauricio and Portia in like on a plane trip. I was going on a business trip for a convention and I just was like in the little lounge and I turned around and it's like Kyle Richards and I was like,
I love Portia.
I'm going to go say hi.
And I love Portia.
Portia is great.
I forgot that was their daughter really quick and I thought they were with Portia from Atlanta. And I was like, what a strange traveling pair.
It's like when you see Melissa Gorga and Ramona hanging out and they're like besties and you're like, this is too like Jensen's the timelines aren't supposed to cross.
It's an odd mix. Well, those two,
that's what this housewives thing is. It is the Jetsons meet the Flintstones having the housewives crossover.
Yeah, I was telling Donnie that when I remember when the Jetsons meet the Flintstones happened, it blew my mind. It was come on. So we have to talk about Meredith and Lisa butting heads and disagreeing about Jen and the comments that she made about Brooks online and the feud between, I don't know, I guess between Jen and Brooks.
Okay, let me stop you really quick. I apologize. Jen, I'm not defending Jen. She shouldn't have liked a tweet that called Brooks a twink, but a lot of people are narrating and say she made these comments. She did not. All she did was like it. And the tweet itself was, if you saw, it was like blurry, so we couldn't read the whole thing, but it was long. And then it said, he's nothing but a privileged twink. So I think, And again, this is all speculation because we didn't see it. But I think the tweet itself that she liked was focused on the fact that Brooks is privileged. But I think the word twink was used. And now Meredith and fans and viewers are able to cling to that and say it was wrong for Jen to like it. They should never use the word twink. Brooks isn't out of the closet, whatever. And we're not focused on the privilege part, which was the thesis statement of this tweet. So like Meredith being able to cling to this word is like pulling us away from the conversation we should be having about him.
I can't say that we should be having a conversation about Brooks, period.
Well, I don't think that if it just was a tweet that said Brooks is a twink, Jen would have liked it. I think like everything else that came with it, Jen was able to ignore that the word twink was used.
I guess I just think it's messy that Jen's liking any tweets about Brooks at all. And I would say if Meredith wanted a reason to kind of side eye or distance herself from Jen, it probably should have been when Jen was talking about like secrets in Meredith's marriage from last season. So I think Meredith certainly has like a good case for kind of feeling a certain way if her good friend Lisa isn't able to understand why Meredith might not be or want to be on the best terms with Jen.
I don't care how old my child is, don't speak on my child. I don't care. Like, I understand that energy from Meredith. It's like, you've already hit me in like the worst place you could hit me. Like, I don't have any energy left for you. Like, I've got nothing left for you at this point. And so for Jen to like still keep liking tweets and doing all that stuff. And didn't she like one about Heather looking like Shrek last season too?
She did.
Do you remember they called it out at the reunion? She tweets like it is Housewives. Stop liking tweets that shade your castmates. No matter how good you think it's going to look, like, I understand. It's like, remember when they had the Bravo blogs every week and the Housewives would update you? Like, they got rid of those and now it's just Twitter. Like, all of that is, like, job requirement-esque. So to see that, like, you're just like, leave her kid out of it. Yes, he is, like, prevalent in the thing. And I also think about the part last season, like, everybody was like, Jen was, like, kicking her leg up in the air. But it was like what she was saying while she was kicking her leg up in the air was she kept saying grinder, grinder, grinder. So the way that she was doing it, like, it was derogatory. Right. And I think that that's why, like, it wasn't just that she was kicking her leg up. It wasn't about what was in between under her dress or anything. I think the point was like what she was saying was making him uncomfortable, especially if you're dealing with someone who's not out and you're sitting in front of their parent, like, whether, like, whatever you want to think about, like, how you've determined their sexuality, like, to sit there and keep saying that, like, it's like, I can understand why there was a type of way felt.
Absolutely.
I think they both have points. I don't think it's wrong necessarily for Jen to think or assume that Brooks is gay. I don't think that's necessarily wrong. What happens with once she finds out that he hasn't identified one way or the other, that's when it becomes wrong. And I also don't like women, and a lot of people, not just women, have a habit of thinking that just because somebody's gay, that means that they can get really comfortable and really familiar and like you're automatically my best friend and you're a slut and all this stuff. I do think she was wrong for that, because that is not the way you should be going about dealing with anybody you don't really know. My only thing that muddies this up with me, and I've said it before, is that I feel like Brooks is in a child's place, but he's not a child. And I don't think it's right for Jen to talk or say things about him because of the fact that she's punching down, because she is the housewife. She has the following. That's not a good look. Also, I'm not a big number older than Brooks, but I would overlook a 21-year-old. And I feel like she should be overlooking him as a child, not even considering the fact that this is supposed to be the child of her friend. She should just be overlooking him as a child off
rip. Yeah,
that's where I am. Jen shouldn't even know Brooks exists. I don't know how to explain it. Like, there's no reason for Brooks to be a thing for this grown woman. I know Brooks is an adult, but Brooks should just be her adult girlfriend's son. That's the end of it. She shouldn't even care what his sexuality is. He should be a non-factor to her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you're the adult. You're like the big adult, like act your big adult yes. age and like don't get in the mood with children.
Right. Yeah. And she has a son that is 21. So it's not even, I mean, no housewife should be in the mud with children, but it's not like this is Whitney who's 34 dealing with a 21 year old and the age gap is a little closer. Like you have a son that is this boy's age.
I will say one thing I'm really upset about with that episode last night is we did not get an in memoriam card for that cake. And the cake deserved it. Like you were so close. You dropped the bottom part, like where the cardboard is. I understand she was taking shots. She was deep, but like it was. And then you did it again. You went and you put more stuff in your hands instead of just using both hands to focus on the cake. Then you just drop it back and you're like, here, I'm gonna present this cake to you during the national global pandemic. Here you go. It's been all over the floor and under people's feet, but you go ahead. We're gonna save this. I'm gonna lick this candle with all this foot germs all over it.
That cake had more lives than a cat. I mean, it tried.
That's how you know that Whitney, you know Whitney is a white mother, because if that was my mother would have called me from down the block to come and pick up those plates and take them out while she took that cake out. She would have never tried to do all of that by herself with two kids, not paying rent, running around that house. So it's cute and I appreciate her doing it, but it was a better way to do it. But then she took all those shots, so I guess she wasn't in her right mind. But Whitney sure does look like a lot of fun, don't she?
She does. She does.
Sure does.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. I want to ask everybody, what are your final thoughts? Anthony, you're on.
Oh gosh, my final thought is I can't believe how lucky we are that even for a brief flicker of time, we are getting on Sunday night the prime time spot for Housewives. We are getting, I'm gonna say, the two best Housewives back to back for at least what, 6 to 8 weeks? It's incredible. I'm so excited.
I have to say, out of everything we've talked about, and of course, love it all, most of it anyway. What stands out to me is the preview for the next episode of Beverly Hills, where Dorit says she speaks four languages and Garcelle says, good for you. That is, that has been in my mind ever since I saw it. I'm obsessed with that moment and I can't wait to see it.
Jen asking the aunt if she was wearing her legs when she came in, I about collapsed into the floor. I was never more uncomfortable in my entire life. Like, I know why she was doing it, to like make Mary, I think she flat out said like, Mary C, or whatever she said. Like, this is my aunt who lost her legs because of whatever. It was so gross.
Who also just passed away, correct?
Yes.
She passed away in June.
May she rest. Just, yeah. May she rest.
Yeah. It just to make a point, like, in that way. And it was like, it was just a super kind of ableist thing. Like, it's not that she has anything to be ashamed of or anything like that, but the way that Jen was putting her like on display to make a point,
she, and you could tell her,
it caught her off guard. Like, she, like you're lifting up someone's stuff, like exposing a vulnerability. I thought that was super disrespectful. Like,
I agree.
I don't want to talk on it because like you just lost somebody. So my final thought, I don't know if you're finished with yours. I'm sorry.
I am. Go for it.
So rude. in particular, like this episode of Salt Lake City, as much as I loved it, as much as it was invigorating, it was really hard. Like this time period that they're talking about, like I lost my dad in April of 2020, and like to see like these people like that were all dealing with that same kind of loss, like I think that like humanized a lot of them for me in a way. And sometimes I feel like we fail to humanize people in that, and like for me, like that, like I was not expecting that emotional attack from them, but here we are. And but I think to be able to like share that, and for Meredith to like be that vulnerable, and for all of them to kind of like lay themselves bare in that way, like they didn't have to, and I thought that was really nice. And a nice way of like, we got a lot of like very real moments in just one episode that was more genuine than a lot of Housewives shows we've seen. And I appreciate that about Salt Lake City. And I'm so glad it's back.
I am too. And I definitely felt the same way, you know, losing my father as well, like, I don't know, 4 months ago. So I definitely felt the same way about that. And hearing Meredith say that, I was watching with Donnie, and when she said, I was like, yeah, that's very, very accurate.
I didn't mean to trigger your feelings. I'm so sorry.
So please let everybody know where they can follow you if they don't already know, which they probably do, but please let them know. Christina.
Oh yeah. I always work under the like the idea that no one knows who I am. I'm just some random chick that talks all the time and posts pictures. But my name is Christina Ariel, and you can find me online at Christina Ariel, KrystinaArielle. If you spell it wrong, that's not me. You can find me on Wednesdays. I'm on a show called Into the Motherlands on twitch.tv/CypherToTier, and this is an Afrofuturist TTRPG tabletop role-playing game, and I play an android with weaponized hair, and it's really cool, and it's made by all POC developers and has an all POC cast. And I also host a show called Star Wars The High Republic Show on StarWars.com, and it comes out bi-monthly. It's really cool. I get to talk about Star Wars The High Republic, and like they pay me to talk about nerd stuff. I love it. So just like follow me, and I'll say stuff and post pictures, and sometimes there's a really cool picture of my kid who's dope. So I hope to hear from you soon, and I can't wait to keep listening to you guys. Thank you so much for having me. Seriously, this is such a great conversation and so much fun, and I thank you for like just inviting me, and it was nice.
Of course. Loved I had it. A lot yeah, of fun.
Thank you for being here. This was so much fun.
So thank you so much for coming, and I would like to say that despite what Donnie says, I don't have a problem with white children. We had a talk about adopting, possibly adopting a white child, and I'm not opposed to it. I just don't know what I would do with his hair. Know that. Thank you all for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support the show, you can visit www.patreon.com/knowthatpod.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at KnowThatPod.
You can follow me, Anthony, at Anthony F. Casella on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Real Donniewood on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can find me, Quinn, at Quentin Lamar on Twitter. Continue to listen and subscribe for free to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.